Come. Walk down the winding path. Don't mind the spooks and monsters. They stay hidden within the trees. There are mysteries in this world that you need to know, and paranormal truths that need to be told. Come, step up into the caravan while we share tales of old, as well as new accounts about things you thought only existed in your nightmares.
Like many young adults, their world is focused and targeted on matters of simplicity and future demands. Nothing would prepare most of us for an unexpected physical sight that does not belong in this realm. The challenge to that is the proper index to place it and the ways of counseling oneself for the side effects of the dread and outright fear of the unknown. Join us inside the caravan for the testimony of tonight's witness by Tony and his tale of the Flying Sewer Dweller of Chicago.
It was about 23 or 24, I'm not really sure, but I was at the Chicago Job Corps. It was about midday. Me and my friend, his name was Romeo, and we were just there in this area, and we were smoking cigarettes, and we kept seeing a shadow go over. We looked up, but we really didn't see anything, so we kind of just let it go. About a few moments later, I looked over, and there's a little stream, little river running parallel to the Job Corps campus. And I just saw something gliding along the waters. And I really wasn't sure what it was. It looked like it was very colorful. You can see the sunlight hit off the scales and, you know, reflect little different colors and stuff. It was mostly different shades of green. But the wings were, they had feathers on it.
Okay.
And from where I was able to get a really good look at it. I was just a few feet away. So I figured that I was seeing some type of tropical bird. Because I saw the body, but I focused on the wings because they had feathers. So I just, you know, I guess my brain just flipped over and was like, try to identify what I saw with something from my memory. And what shook me up is when it got to this drainage hole that was sticking out of the side of the ground. It didn't flap its wings and land. It literally just, you know, crawled onto the dirt and used its wings to literally, just thinking about it,
it's
makes
okay.
me like kind of shake, but it crawled up, it used its wings to crawl. And it literally just crawled up into the sewage drain. And that's when I was able to see the rest of his body.
Okay.
And this really long serpent-like tail with this huge bright feather on the end. And me and my friend, we both just started cursing really loud. And we went. I wish I can say I had the guts to just go over there and try to look inside the drainage hole. It was high enough where if I went to the fence, I could have probably looked in there and got a little bit more, a better viewing, maybe. I just didn't have the balls to do that. And my friend, he just started hurling rocks at the sewer entrance, and I shoved them because, you know, this thing was huge.
Right.
I didn't want to, whatever it was, I didn't want to aggravate it and have it come back out. You know, when it was crawling up, I was able to see that it had a long neck, it had a short head and beak, and it had some type of claw, you know, on its wings, you know, and it literally was using its claw to pull itself out the water and up the side of the dirt and eventually into the drainage hole. And, you know, we just never told anybody what we saw. We told people that, you know, it was, you know, a large bird.
Uh-huh.
At this time, Job Corps is filled with, you know, 14 to 23 year olds, you know, it was a bunch of young people.
Right.
I wasn't gonna, you know, it's kind of the norm to, when you see something, the first thing you do is you keep it to yourself because, you know, you don't want people looking at you strange. But, you know, he didn't have a problem. You know, he waited about a day. Then he started telling people what he saw. I just told them that, you know, I really don't know what it is. I would like to know. I just don't want to see it again.
Okay.
You know.
Don't blame you.
You know, it was pretty large. It,
how big do you maybe think it was, Tony?
Wingspan, I would probably put it at, you know, 4 to 5 feet. Head to tail, I would put it maybe at about 5 to 6 feet. It had a ridiculously long tail. It just, that tail just freaked me out. It just looked like a slimy little bird with scales and feathers. It looked more prehistoric. I've heard stories recently of people saying, you know, Chicago may have a Mothman. I grew up in Chicago. That was the weirdest thing, other than a few, you know, large rats. That was the weirdest thing I've ever saw. And from what I've heard about this flying humanoid, you know, it's not what I saw.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see anything that looked like a man with wings or giant bat creature. This looked like a bird that you will find, you know, from the Jurassic period. You know, it looked more.
But that's very common. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. There has been several reports out of the Chicago area of a pterosaur. Now, pterosaur is just a general description of a flying prehistoric bird. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't use the word bird because pterosaurs were actually reptiles. And you said that it appeared that it had scales, but yet had feathered wings. We also know through paleontology that itself that a lot of dinosaurs through evolution started to develop feathers. So it's not that far-fetched to say. Have you seen the movie, Jurassic Park? And it's not the first one. I believe it's probably the third one where the pterosaur in there is actually using its wings as its front hands to walk. Is that similar as to what you saw? So it would be walking on two hind legs and then using the wings with the claw on the wings to walk?
Possibly. I was fixed on the claws that the wings, that were on the wings. I didn't see where the bird or whatever I saw folded its wings. It didn't fold its wings at all. It literally just looked like it just was climbing. You know, it looked like it was pulling itself up with you know, the hook.
Right.
You know, I can tell that the hook was not on the end of the feather. You know, it looked like it had some type of meat there. But then again, you know, once I saw that, I tried my best to, you know, try to answer what it was.
Right.
Once it was gliding along the water, I didn't see all of the body, and I saw the feathers on the wings. You know, I didn't see the long neck or the head, so I immediately took it for some type of exotic bird. It wasn't until it started crawling, you know, that I was able to look at the body. And then when it, you know, went into the drain, I could see the tail being, you know, pulled behind it and with the feather. And that's when I just lost it. My, you know, there was nothing you can show me that would even come close to what I saw. I mean, I don't think there are birds like that around. You know, it's anything, even if it is, why would it be in a sewage drain, and why would it be using his, you know, wings to move around? It was just a very creepy event. And I would like to know what it was. I don't want to see it again.
Right. Well, I can't blame you there at all. You said it seemed to have multicolors, or at least
yes.
The wings were kind of like that iridescent, so it might change colors depending on the sunlight reflecting off of it, or it definitely was just a multicolored wing.
Well, the color of the feathers on the wings and tail was a solid color. It looked to be a solid color. You know, I would probably put it around a darkish green, but the body itself, you know, this is, you know, it reflected the light, and that's when I was able to see various colors, and that's why I believe that the body has scales.
Right. Well, this is pretty remarkable that you were that close to it. You said you were how far away from it when it actually went down into the drainage?
I would put myself maybe at about, let's see, maybe 20 or 30 feet.
Wow.
I was pretty close.
Wow. That's really close.
Where I was at, if you guys can bring up a map of Job Corps, or, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you guys can actually go on to the campus and...
I was sent a map of the area where you had the sighting with the address. It is in the hub of a lot of the pterosaur and flying humanoid sightings. It's right there in that same hub. So that is not unusual for you to have the sighting. Plus, it was right on the river there. A lot of these sightings seem to also be taking place around bodies of water. I don't know if it's, you know, an aquatic feature to feed on fish, or if it's, I don't. Lon Strickler is probably the only person I know, and he has collected most of the data. He runs the Phantoms and Monsters, and he's the ones that have been taking the majority of the reports of the sightings in Chicago. Now, he is by no means an expert, and he will tell you he has no idea what this is. He wants to know, just like you want to know, but wants to keep his distance, and probably, I don't know if he wants to see it, you know, having photographs, you know, to say, oh, it is this particular type of creature, but then what the hell is it doing here? And what would it be doing going down into a sewer drainage? That's even scarier. I'm at a total loss, Tony, but man, this is, like, really fascinating. And especially to have a 5-foot wingspan and have a body about the same length. I don't know of any creature. I'm not, you know, much, you know, to say that I know that many animals of the world, but nothing like that seems like it's a known creature to exist today, especially if it had a claw on the leaning edge of the wing. I just, you know, for the, like I was saying before, with the pterosaur, it is a flying reptile. And in fossil records, there is never, I explained this to Jennifer a while ago, and it may take a couple minutes to kind of understand what it is that I'm saying. But when paleontology was unraveling the fossil records of these flying reptiles, there has never shown any history of development. They just showed up as a flying creature. They didn't start out as a fish and slowly produced wings and then learned to fly. They just showed up in the fossil record as a, and it's the only prehistoric animal that is that way. There's an evolutionary fossil record of the T-Rex, your Velociraptor, your Stegosaurus. There is a developmental process that they've been able to uncover to say, well, this creature developed into this creature over time. With the pterosaurs, of all the flying reptiles, they just showed up. There is no prehistory to them showing that it's a small creature that slowly developed wings and then learned to fly. Here you're discovering everything fully winged and able to fly. So then where did it come from that quickly? And now to have all these unusual flying creatures in and around the Chicago area, and you've witnessed it, I could only imagine how terrifying that must have been. The tail of it, was it more of a serpentine type of tail, or was it a feathered type of tail? Do you know?
Both. The only feather that I saw was at the end. It was pretty big. I would probably put it at maybe a foot long.
Wow.
But the tail itself had to be at least, you know, two feet by itself.
Uh-huh.
So it was pretty big. It was pretty creepy.
Yeah, John.
I found a photo that we'll have to send over to Tony and have him check it out and see how similar it is to what he saw that day.
Is it a prehistoric bird?
Yeah, it's a prehistoric bird.
Yes. Well, reptile seems to have, well. It has teeth on the beak, though. Sorry, we're getting feedback.
It's really weird because, you know, when I was in the military, I've heard people tell stories about Bigfoot, stuff like that. A lot of people laugh, and, you know, I always tell people, you know, I look for the people that you can generally see the fear in their eyes when they're recounting what they saw. I'm not looking for the ones who claim that Bigfoot shows up and balls sugar or, you know, stuff like that. You know, they, you know, I know that there are strange things out there. There are creatures that we believe went extinct. I mean, for goodness sake, they're still finding creatures and crustaceans that they thought were gone, you know, so it's possible that, you know, we have overlooked. We, you know, we would like to think that, you know, their time is gone, but there's so much about the world, you know, about space, about our own oceans and, you know, thick forests. We don't know what's out there. We already know that there's evidence that they were around, you know, because we can't actively see them on a daily basis. You know, we like to tell ourselves that they don't exist anymore, but is it possible that, you know, the Loch Ness Monster is a prehistoric creature that is still, you know, is, we already know that there were giant apes. Could some of them have inhabited North America and are still around?
Right.
You know, it's possible.
Well,
you know,
that's, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It is,
no, it's okay.
I appreciate the fact that you have that healthy, open mind to think that way. That's very important.
That's very important.
I mean,
after seeing what I saw, I really didn't have no choice.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was, you know, you can't see that and then turn around and really laugh at someone who may have seen a 12-foot hairy ape out in the forest. You know, you would like to just chalk it up to the mind playing, you know, tricks on you, but I was close enough to see this creature. I saw what it did. It didn't see me, thank freaking goodness. It didn't see me. But, you know, it definitely, when it was flying over, it possibly saw me. It saw my friend, you know, but it didn't care. It just went on and did its thing. I'm very thankful for that. You know, that's another reason why I, you know, am very glad that I stopped my friend from continually throwing rocks at the entrance of where it went into. I definitely didn't want to aggravate this thing and have it possibly come out, because I don't think I would have been able to outrun it. I don't even want to think about what I saw, you know, let alone just try to envision this creature angry and ready to rip my head off. I just don't want to think about it.
Well, thank you enough for coming on.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. It's a big deal for us, and I can promise you there's no mockery here in this community whatsoever. I will share a link with you, Phantoms and Monsters, and you'll be able to see there's a huge plethora of reports in the area, and you may be able to see something that's, you know, relatively similar to what you saw. But I appreciate you having the courage to share your story with us. It is absolutely fascinating. Very much so. That's a big thank you. Thank you.
Well, you guys are welcome. I just, if you guys could, you know, talk to more people and, you know, try to find out if we are looking, if we're talking about two separate creatures, maybe there's different types, you know. Another thing that I didn't, I'm not sure if I told Lynn, my girlfriend, about this, but there's another thing about the Job Corps campus. Apparently, it's supposed to be haunted.
Oh, wow.
There's three main buildings. I'm not sure if they added any buildings for sleeping quarters, but there's a building for the males, a building for the females, and a building where it's pretty co-ed. Mm-hmm. On the female building, apparently there wasn't enough of us there, so they had everybody confined to just one wing. When more people got there, they opened the second wing up, and that's when people started talking about hearing moans, things going on. This one girl told me that she heard something crawling along the floor. Another girl, her radio came on and would go to an old-time radio station. What happened was, I don't remember the girl's name, and all I know about her is she's Mexican-American. She doesn't speak, she did at the time speak a lot of English. She was taking a shower, and she thought she heard her roommate come in. So she just continued to take the shower. Then she heard the door open up, and she told her roommate that, you know, she was in the shower, you know, whatever. All of a sudden, the curtain opened, and she gets slapped across the face. So,
oh my gosh.
She, yeah, not to mention that all the lights were turned off in her room. She cuts all the lights on. And these rooms, there are no places for you to hide. The beds have drawers underneath them, so you can't just slide underneath the bed. They do not have any place for you to turn around and hide around a corner. The wall lockers are all locked. They all have padlocks to them, so there's no jumping into the closet. And even if you did, there's an entire chest, small little drawer in there, plus a bunch of other crap that you would knock over. So there's no place for you to hide.
Right.
Wow.
I think when she saw that, she just lost it. I wasn't there. I was actually at home. When I came back, I heard the story, and from what everyone told me, she came screaming out, stark naked. She didn't have a towel. She didn't stop for anything. They examined her face. She had a nail-sized print hand going across her face,
wow.
And it had busted her lip.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, she left Job Corps that same night. She didn't come back.
Oh,
you know,
man.
That's just one of so many stories. I've heard stories about girls in the shower and they felt hands go down their back. Another girl was sleeping and something grabbed her hair and just lifted her up by her hair. And from what I know, all of these things happen when, you know, there were only a few people in those areas.
Right.
You know, at first I kind of chalked it up to maybe people are just going for attention, stuff like that. But one time, what made me a believer, during the day, they clear out those dorms so you cannot be in there. The windows in one of the rooms that is supposed to be haunted, all the windows just busted, and we all saw it. We were all in the square. The square was filled with about 50, 60 people, and the windows popped. They came out. You heard a loud scream. And people went in there. They thought somebody had just, you know, came in there, got into the room somehow. The authorities, not the police, but the people that were security and stuff like that, they made it up to the room. And you can see them. They came to the window. They looked out. When they got up there, the door was locked. They had to take the knob off the door to get in because none of the keys worked. And when they got in there, like I said, there's no place for anybody to hide.
Right.
That room was completely empty, and the only thing that was going on was that old-time radio station, which for the time that this happened, that radio, that program shouldn't even been playing.
Wow.
You know, they asked for volunteers to go help and clean up the area. I told them no. I'm not going up there. I'm not going up there. A lot of the guys that did go over there came back, and the next thing you know, we started having issues. Thankfully,
wow.
It was around the time I was getting ready to leave anyway, so I wasn't going to be dealing with it. And I didn't have any ghosts in my room, so I really didn't care. I was sleeping well at night, so, you know, I just laughed it off. But now that I look back on it, it was one of those hair-raising situations, you know. But, you know, I'm pretty sure you guys can find more. Like I said, it's the only Job Corps located, I believe, in Chicago. It's on Cassie. You know, if you guys can, you know, get on campus, you'll definitely be able to see the river. You'll be able to see the square where everybody hang out at, where I was at. And you can see how close it is to that little river stream that flows parallel to the campus. You can, if they haven't closed it up, the drainage pipe should still be there.
Right.
It was pretty big. A human person can climb in there. It was pretty big. You know, I doubt any of that is gone.
My one question is, so with all the activity that was going on in the dorms, that was at the same time that you had saw this flying creature? It was all in the same?
It was before.
Okay.
It was before. I knew about the incidents in the girls' dorms.
Okay.
Before I saw the creature.
Okay.
When I did see the creature, the only person other than myself was my friend Romeo. We were the only ones out there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the sun was shining. It was midday. If I remember correctly, it was either on a Saturday or Sunday when the campus is pretty much deserted. Some of the kids will go home for the weekend, stuff like that. So, you know, the campus had very few people out, you know, and me and my friend just happened to be out there at that time.
Right.
You know, I feel lucky to have seen it. Because it's, you know, if I ever find out what it is and it turns out to have been, you know, to be a prehistoric creature, you know, I feel kind of, you know, lucky to have seen it that close, you know, while it was wild and it was out, you know, versus seeing it when somebody shot it, you know, and
right.
It's just gone now.
Right. Well, you know, if I have your permission to say, you know, can I share some of the details of your story with Lon Strickler himself? And
yes,
he may be
able yes,
to. Okay, I appreciate that, and I'm sure Lon would greatly appreciate it too, because it doesn't matter at what time it happened, you know, years ago or whatever, even recently, it still all compiles to a puzzle piece to try to figure out what activity it actually is, what it might be attributed to, or what type of creature it might be, and what's it doing here. And of course, with, you know, the haunting story that you just shared, that's hair-raising enough in itself. And then you throw a cryptid on top of it. Wow, you were right in the middle of something there that was absolutely fascinating. By no means, it was absolutely fascinating. I greatly appreciate you sharing all this with us, Tony. Yeah, I will. I will forward some of the details to Lon, and he may be able to come up with, you know, photographs too, or illustrations, and maybe you can run a comparison to say, yeah, it's sort of like it, or it is, or whatever. You know, maybe we can kind of narrow down a little bit more for you. And it depends how far you want to take that too. Not that you'll ever run into this thing again, and I hope you don't, because it seems to me that you don't want to run into it again, and I can't say I blame you.
No, I would like to know what it is.
Right.
I'm willing to look at a picture, a photograph of it. That's it. A clear photo of it after it's been captured and, you know, before it's dissected. I would like to see it, and somebody give me some type of, you know, clarification on to if it is a lost species. You know, that would be cool. If it's, you know, something new that we don't know about. I just know the day that I saw that, you know, that kind of, you know, got me into being, you know, able to hear other people's stories and kind of, you know, instead of laughing them off, you know, it may be something there we don't know.
Right.
You know, there are plenty of creatures that we know today that started out just myth and legend, and, you know, it's, you know,
there's a nugget of truth there.
Maybe it's,
yes, I agree. Kind of going back on your point that you had made earlier, you know, about certain creatures that should have been extinct years ago. It seems to me, though, that if you're talking about a creature that had theoretically gone extinct 60 million years ago, but yet it still lives, I'm sure it went through an evolutionary change, too, and probably does not look the same, just like Gigantopithecus. You know, 10,000 years ago, well, 10,000 years later, he may have evolved into what we know as a Bigfoot today. Just because a known creature from our prehistoric past may still exist, it probably would have still continued to go through an evolutionary change itself. Maybe it's gotten a little bit smaller, maybe its jaw structure changed, its teeth, its eyes, its intelligence, who knows what evolution would have continued to change with these said creatures from, you know, prehistoric history. So, you know, maybe that's part of the answer to what it was that you witnessed too. Maybe it was a known creature from, you know, 10, 15, 20 million years ago, but now you're looking at its evolved change currently, even though it's managed to keep itself rather obscure and hidden. And how many people have seen something and just don't know what to do with that information, and so they tuck it away as a strange experience and don't share it with anybody? There might be lots of people out there, Tony, just like you, that saw the same thing and just have no idea what it was. It scared them, and they just would try to forget about it until something jars their memory. I don't know, but again, Tony, I really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for sharing the story with us. It is compelling and fascinating, and I will look into the Job Corps. I did get the map and the address, so we'll dig into it a little bit and see if we find out any other information of odds going on there. We never know, so thanks for that tip. That's very helpful to us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. Your stories really mean a lot.